today. I believe that God has something special for you. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm a cook, a spiritual cook. Yeah? And my responsibility to find the recipe, do the shopping, you know, cut it in pieces, dish it, put it in the, cook it to when it's ready to eat and put it in a presentable, eatable way. So today, thank God that you have the opportunity to feed on the word. Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Like I was explaining in Home Fellowship, your spirit feed. Word of God is not just to renew your mind. No. Your spirit, although it's born perfect, is a baby. It's a new base. You should desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. So today, the word of God will not only renew your mind, it will feed your spirit. That's how you grow. You don't grow in your mind, you grow in your spirit. And your spirit needs to grow. So today, ask God, say, Father, I want to grow. If you don't desire it, you won't have it. It's got to be desire. You have to desire to grow. And growth has nothing to do with your physical age. Growth has nothing to do with your profession. Growth has nothing to do with your experience. Growth has nothing to do with whether you know how to speak religious language. Growth has to do with your heart. Your heart has to be ready. The Bible says that the word brings understanding to the simple. That means you can hear the word and you won't understand because your heart is not simple. So today, humble yourself. Father, I open up my heart to receive the word of truth, the word of life, that it is able to make me perfect. It is the word that will make you perfect. It is the word that will make you perfect. As you feed on it, as you grow, you are growing unto maturity. You are becoming more like Jesus. That is your calling in this life. So open up your eyes and say, Father, I'm ready for you today. Feed me. Transform me through your word. Help me to grow, to move forward, to become more and more like Jesus, and to fulfill my purpose in this life. In the name of Jesus, I yield myself to you. Holy Spirit, we ask you, fill us today. Fill us. Fill us afresh. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Operate in our lives. Operate in our spirit. Operate in our mind. Operate in our emotions. Operate in our will. Holy Spirit, operate in our body. Beyond what the doctors can do. Holy Spirit, operate in our bodies. Beyond what the doctors can do. Holy Spirit, operate in our bodies. Let there be healing. Let there be everything that is broken in our body. I command healing. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Receive healing now. This moment. This moment. This moment. Let the power flow. The power of Holy Ghost in your body. Let the power flow. Receive healing. That which has be healed. Be healed. Be turned around right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. That which has become impossible. I say, turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. In the name of Jesus Christ. Power is flowing into your body right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Power is flowing into your body. Hallelujah. Power is flowing right now into your mind. I command your mind restored. Your mind restored. Your mind will restore every mental brokenness. I command restore. So right now, in your mind, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command quickening in your spirit. Your spirit receives light today. Where darkness has been dominating you, where spiritual blindness has been dominating you, I break power this moment in the name of Jesus Christ. Let light flood your heart right now. Be empowered in your spirit. Be empowered. I know you came here thinking, feeling weak in your spirit. You say, Lord, I just can't carry you. I just manage. But right now, receive power. Receive quickening in your spirit. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We are in your presence, Lord. And we exalt you. We are going to enjoy your presence. Because your presence is fullness of joy. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's first and foremost a freedom of spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn to somebody. Give them a smile. Said, I'm enjoying God. And then turn, look at them. Especially if they're your spouse. Say, I'm enjoying God. I choose to to enjoy God. Now that's part of worship. You see, your worship is not complete until you begin to enjoy God. Hallelujah. You see, there's a level you are where you think you are doing things for God. But there's another level you get to whereby you're in partnership with God. We're not in this business together. God is my father and I'm his child. Yeah? The inheritance belongs to both of us. Amen. Hallelujah. That's where God wants you to be. God doesn't want you to labor in your relationship with God. He wants you to enjoy it. Everything you do for God should be an expression, an overflow of your love and relationship with God. Hallelujah. Relationship with God gets deep. Yeah? His business becomes your business. Hallelujah. I say his business becomes what? Your business. And I tell you something. When God's business is your business becomes his business. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I know you read the Bible before, but I also know that most Christians don't read their Bible nowadays. I know. But I will remind you, they just remember Bible stories, but they've missed a lot of links in here and there. For example, Abraham. When Abraham was walking with God, do you know that Abraham never asked God for a child? He was just minding his business. God told him, leave where you are. Go to the place I'll show you. He was minding God's business. It was God that said, I will do it. Hallelujah. When God's business becomes your business becomes God's business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, if you meet somebody who is walking in the will of God, they are dangerous because, you see, if you try to go against them, they don't need to go against you. There's a force in their life that will repel anything. You know, there's some Christians that say, you know, every arrow of Satan back to sender. That's a low level. Hallelujah. When you become rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus, yeah, his business has become your business. Some things that will come against you, there's a force around you that will just repel it. Sometimes you won't even know. Some people say, I was trying to get you. You'll be laughing. Hallelujah. Because God's hand is upon your life. Amen. That's where God wants you to be. God doesn't want you to be in that place where you are afraid and running and trying to dribble and manipulate God. No need to try to dribble God. He knows all the moves. Hallelujah. He's better than Ronaldo. Hallelujah. God is better. He knows all the moves. Before you thought it, he knew it. Have you ever tried to play chess with God? God doesn't play chess. Hallelujah. You know why God doesn't play chess? Somebody give me an answer. Sound good? God doesn't play chess. Why? Let's have an answer.
Anybody? I've given you the answer already. Why does God not play chess?
Because he will always win.
Because he always wins, yes?
Yeah.
Like, which answer can be better? Is the right answer. I just wanted to say it in a way that will say that again.
It always has the final move.
Yes, that's also a very good. Just, I agree. But I'm looking for someone who will give me the way I want it. But is that the right answer? You're just modifying it in a way that strikes home.
He always knows how the game will end.
He knows how the moves. So it'll be boring. Hello? Hello? Nothing ever occurs to God. Hallelujah. Nothing that is challenging you now and mesmerizing your life is not a problem for God. He knows all the moves. Hallelujah. That's, I understood one day, I said, if I want to enter the blessing, all I just need to do is walk with God. He will get me there. Hallelujah. Because he knows all the moves. You know, sometimes the reason why you are fasting concerning your problem is because you're not walking with God. You allowed yourself to be far away. You kept God out of the business. That's why you have to fast. Amen? But if you walk with God, he will show you. You see, your walk with God must be moment by moment, daily, continuous. You don't like leave church, forget God, then next Sunday, dust your Bible, dust your clothes, and get back. Oh, we are going to God's presence. Yes, church is God's presence because where the people of God are gathered, his presence is more dominant. But God's presence is not just in church. You are supposed to carry God's presence every moment, everywhere. Somebody said, but how do you carry God's presence? Someone answer me. How can you carry God's presence with you everywhere? Anybody? How can you actively carry God's presence with you every moment, everywhere? What do you need to do to activate that? Now, we know that God is with you, but you want to live in that consciousness. You want to dwell in His presence. How? Yes?
You must constantly be conscious and considerate of Him.
Always. Be conscious of Him? Yes. Somebody can modify that, but that's a good one.
You be mindful and you confess.
Mindful of Him, confess. One more. So I'm looking for all the answers are in C. Conscious, confess. Constant what? I don't need to go any further. Amen. Yeah, that's the key. If you want to carry God's presence with you all the time, or have a conversation with God all the time, involve Him. Involve Him. Even if when you are playing football, you can carry His presence. Hallelujah. Anywhere, anything you are doing, once you're in communion with God, you will carry His presence. Because when you're in communion with God, you give God the opportunity to influence. Somebody say influence. Your life. Hallelujah. One day God opened my eyes and I understood that anything good in your life right now, if God did not sign to it, you won't have it. Because the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. I know. There are times you say that I've worked hard. I know I worked. I remember, you know, when my wife started working in the UK. Yeah? And she had all these long shifts. Yeah? She will work. You know, when someone works and you know that they worked. You know, like, you know, I remember the first time I had the word knackered. You know, you work and you are what? You're not just tired, you are what? Knackered. Amen. And so once she has a break, she says, I'm going now, just leave me alone. I'm going to give myself a treat. Hallelujah. And many times we are like that. Now, there's nothing bad in giving yourself a treat. Don't misunderstand me. Yeah. But don't think that your prosperity today is a product of your doing. I noticed one thing when the brother asked, you know, about testimonies. Most people talked about the gift of life. Life is a gift. You need to understand it. Life, your life is a gift. So that very life that enables you to think. I know you think you are smart. Okay, sorry. I know you are smart. Okay? And, you know, that very life that causes blood to run through your veins. Yeah? You can lift your leg. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation whereby you woke up one morning and your leg was feeling heavy. Then you understand the value of being able to what? Lift your leg. Amen. And some people don't, you know, I mean, like, for example, as a pastor, I can't come out here and start preaching about, you know, going to the toilet. Yeah? But if you don't go to the toilet for 1 week, then you will know the value of what? Being able to go. Every process of life is a miracle. Hallelujah. Your life is a gift from God. And because it's a gift, you owe Him. Someone says, I owe God my very life. Hallelujah. Once you can understand that, it changes your approach to living life. Amen. So someone said, you know, I want to serve God. I want to serve God. You know, it's just that I'm so busy. My work is busy. My kids keep me busy. Don't worry. When I'm 50, I'll serve God. By that time, the kids will start, you know, leaving home, maybe to, you know, uni. You get to 50. And then, you know, they leave. But something else, you know, gets you busy. So don't worry, you know, when I'm 60, when I'm 70. Finally, you become 80. There's no other care. You stop your job. You are retired. Yeah? You're on pension. Now you will serve God. Yeah? But as you now step down to serve God at 80 or 90, you could not lift your leg. Because you are getting what? Old. Yeah? So now it becomes like too late to serve God. There's only one time, one right time to live for God. And it is what? Now. Let's open our Bible to Luke chapter 12. Let's start from there. Luke chapter 12. Today, we're talking about commitment to Jesus. Luke chapter 12. And my constant message, if you will permit me to say that, is what I say, someone said, you know, you are called as a pastor. What's your calling? I know my calling. One of my calling is to help you to make the most of your life. It bothers me. It bothers me when lives are being wasted. It bothers me the way people measure their life. It bothers me. You need to understand that you have a calling from God in this life. You understand? The day God is fed up of you, and I'm saying it that way, I'm not saying God will be fed up of you, he will take your life. Amen? The fact that you're alive means that God has given you something that he wants to see produce something. Your life itself is a seed that God planted. Amen? Hallelujah. Your life is a seed that God planted. And God wants that life to be used for his glory. Hallelujah. And I want to show you the wrong way to measure your life. And then I will show you the right way to measure your life. It's very important. And I'm giving you the very words of Jesus. Very words of Jesus. Luke chapter 12. Let's read now from verse. I'll have two readers. Or no, one, because of time. So I have many things to say. And I must finish on time today. I must. So when I say time, I'm looking at 12:30 today. I'll give you that extra time. Summer. Luke chapter 12. We're looking at verse 15? Yeah. Okay, let's start from 13. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. Someone who has not read today. Luke 12, 13 to 21. Someone who has not read today. Yes. Fernando. Luke 12, 13 to 21. Please follow in your Bible. Very important. Do you need a Bible, Daisy? I have one. Amen. Yeah, no. I have two. Hallelujah. I have two. Yeah, it's important. Because next reading, I'm going to call you to read it anyway. That's what I do with Sean. Okay? I'm not going to teach you any less. I'll teach you better. Amen? See, I don't have a daughter. And that door has closed. So I must treat... by the way, I'm telling you it has closed. Amen? So now... But I'm now called to have spiritual sons and daughters. Amen? Let me tell you something. God will reward you more in... for your spiritual sons and daughters than your physical sons and daughters. I tell you the truth. And that's why if you have physical children, make sure they are also your spiritual children. Because if they are just your physical children, you have no reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know that story? Yeah? They came to Jesus and said, your mother and your brothers and sisters, they are looking for you. Jesus turned around and said, who is my mother? Who is my father? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Is it these ones here that are listening to the word of God that do it? Hallelujah. He's telling us what God will reward. That's how to measure your life. Amen? You have to understand how to measure your life. Amen? If you are using the wrong measuring instrument, you will deceive yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Imagine that you are using something that is, you know, calibrated in feet. But you are counting it as meters. You will deceive yourself. Please read. Luke 12, 13 to 21.
Amen. Verse 13. One of the multitudes said to him, Rabbi, tell my brother to divide inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge? Or an arbitrator over you? He said to them, beware, keep yourselves from covetousness. For a man's life doesn't consist of abundance of things which he possesses. He spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man produced abundantly. He released within himself, saying, what will I do? Because I don't have room to store my crops. He said, this is what I will do. I will put down my barns, build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. I will tell my soul, you have many laid up. You have many goods laid up for yourself for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
Take it easy. Someone say, take it easy. Eat, drink, and be what?
Merry. Verse 20. But God said to him, you foolish one, tonight your soul is required of you.
What did God call him? What did God call him? Foolish. foolish man. Continue.
The things which are prepared, whose will they be? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.
Amen. Please sit down. New Living says, so is everyone, you know, you have the riches of the world, but you don't have a rich relationship with God. Hallelujah. And God is showing us how to measure our life. Your relationship with God is more important than your earthly achievement or your earthly possession. Now, later I will show you how you can make your earthly achievement and possession help you to improve your relationship with God. But first and foremost, your relationship with God is better. Now, let me just quickly dissect this. This is not the start of my message. It was the end, but let me go backward. You see, you need to understand. Look at the story. So this man, he worked hard. Are you listening to me? He worked hard. And he planted seeds. He definitely planted seeds. Yeah? And that year, his seeds gave him a bountiful what? Harvest. He did not do anything different from what you would do on myself. You know, he said, I'm not going to waste this, yeah? He stored it up. Or invested it, yeah? So that it can last him for a lifetime and generations to come. He's not doing anything different from what you are doing. Amen? Yeah? Hallelujah? And, you know, he now said, now I'm going to take it easy. And I'm going to just enjoy my life. You know what they call that? Early retirement. Work is not a curse. What is a curse is hard labor. Amen? Well, let me explain this. When you labor and it does not produce good fruit, that's a curse. Amen? But when you work and you add value to other lives, that's a blessing. Hallelujah? Imagine the next time your TV broke down and there was who are those who fix TVs? Electrician or what do you call it? Technician. Thank you, sir. Technician. You know, you called. All the technicians have retired. So what's going to happen to your TV? Okay. Let's assume technicians are working. Yeah? Then you put on the TV. It's World Cup. Yeah? England versus Colombia. Yeah? You've even taken a day off work. Because today is a day. Put on that TV. And they say, Gary Lineker, yeah? Say, we're sorry. We're very sorry to announce that the England footballers are on strike today. Amen? Work is not a curse. What is a curse is what? Hard labor. Or labor that produces little reward, where the effort is greater than the reward. Are you with me? You see, when God made Adam, God told him to tend the garden even before he ever sinned. And I'm telling you now, remember that I told you, because I'll remind you in heaven. You see, right now in heaven, the saints are in heaven. Yes, truly they are resting. They are resting now. There's nothing to do. But that's not the final destination. After the resurrection, heaven is coming down to earth. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And I tell you, in the new earth, there will still be work. Because every time you, I know you like swimming. Who likes swimming here? Amen. Hallelujah. I love it. That you like swimming, I mean. I don't mean I love swimming. I love it that you like swimming. Every time you go swimming, I know you are swimming for leisure. I know. But you can't tell me that there's no work at all involved in swimming. But you love swimming. Now, in the new earth, would you like to swim? Yeah. You're still going to work. Amen. But it's good work. It's rewarding work. It's desirable work. It's fruitful work. A work that makes you happy. Amen. Hallelujah. Every time you are adding good value to lives, whether as a nurse or as a pastor. Yeah? And you are doing it in a way that with a thankful heart, not with a grumpy attitude. Yeah? Sometimes work is challenging. But you need to pray. That's why the prayer is there. He said, Father, help me now. I've prayed it countless times over. When I'm researching and I'm stuck, help me. And I tell you, he does help me. Hallelujah. I said, I don't know what to do now. It's only I'm not, I said, I'm naked. Help me. And he will help you. Amen. But every time you walk with the right attitude and you aim to bless a life and you aim to add value and you aim to honor God in your work, it's worship. It's worship. And every time you are lazy, yeah, to do what God has called you to do, yeah, it's ungodliness, it's unrighteousness. I tell you that again, listen to that. The Holy Spirit is trying to communicate something to you today. Righteousness is not just something you are. It's something you do. Every gift you are giving is for a purpose. I just tell people, I say, you know, if you receive the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, it's not for you to just corner it. You have to use it. Hallelujah. Righteousness is a gift that produces good works. Are you with me? We can measure righteousness in you. You don't believe? Open to Matthew 6:33. Let's show you that. Matthew 6:33. You see, righteousness should have an impact on your life. And isn't that that? Righteousness should have an impact on your way of life. The fact that you are not in right standing with God should affect the way you deal with your wife. Hello? Or with your husband. The Bible says, husband, what do you do? Husband, do what? How? How should you love your wife? As Christ loved. How did Christ love his church? He gave himself. He gave what? Himself. Now, when a husband is loving his wife like Christ loved the church and giving himself for her to the best of his ability, of course, is living righteousness. He's being like his Father God. Hallelujah. I say, I'm in right standing with God. So I'm able to produce the works like God will. Now I was trying to send this to fellowship. The Bible says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is. Another, that's in Matthew. And Peter, he said, be ye holy, for I am what? So when I was growing up, I used to think like, God is holy and I have to do my best now to make sure I'm holy. That's not the message. It's okay for kindergarten level. Yeah, it's okay. There's revelation. There are different levels of revelation. Please, you understand? There's little revelation. There's higher level revelation. God opened my eyes one day. What God is saying is this. I am holy. If you will be in good relationship with me, if you open up your heart and take in all that I am, you will be holy. It's my nature. As you consume my nature, it will reflect on you. That's righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:33. Let's look at Matthew 6:33. We're talking about commitment to Jesus. Matthew 6:33. Yes, where's my mic today? Who has my mic? Okay, I found it. Yes, let's have someone read. Someone else. Matthew 6:33. Let's have one of our youth now. Matthew 6:33, one of our youth. Yes, she's not yet ready. Okay, grandma, you see, this is what the Bible says. You see, now, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost has spoken. The youth is taking their time then, you know. Grandma says, look, I'm a youth too. Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. The Bible says that those that wait upon the Lord shall do what? They will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like what? Eagle. They will run and not grow weary. If you are running and you are growing weary, you need to take time and wait upon the Lord. And that doesn't mean waiting for the Lord. It means waiting on the Lord. There's a difference between waiting for and waiting on. When you wait on God, you give him attention. And you spend time in his presence. That's how he will renew your strength. Amen. Say, oh, sister, what are you doing? Say, I'm just waiting for God. That's not what you're waiting for. Anybody can wait for something. It's different from waiting on. Say, I will wait on the Lord. I am officially, say that, God's waiter. You are there to minister to him. And when you minister to God, he will minister to your needs. Grandma, Matthew 6:33.
23?
33. 3:3. Let's wait for grandma now. Yes.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God.
And his righteousness.
And his righteousness.
And all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen. Now, if you understand righteousness just as right standing with God, you won't understand what the Bible is saying. It will confuse you. In fact, actually, I always tell people, I said, some people, if you read, some people have, based on their understanding of God, they have to redact most part of the Bible. It doesn't apply to them. They are so different. No. I'm a new creation. That doesn't apply to me. You'll find that you redact 95% of the Bible. Amen? You know why? You decided to close your heart. You have to open your heart. Because the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Psalm 19. Enlightening. So even when I read the Testament, it means that to me. Because I have the Holy Spirit. It will enlighten me. It's a shadow, but it will show me the meaning of the shadow. I don't need to redact it. Hallelujah. I told you, I said, I'm ready for all that God has to offer me. What about you? Say that.
I'm ready for all.
You have to. That's how you enter the blessing. You become an unstoppable force. You understand? People can't understand you yourself. You can't understand yourself. Glory to God. Yeah, you can't understand yourself. Because somebody annoyed you. You were supposed to react and you find yourself loving them. You can't understand yourself. You'll be looking like to you. I said, why am I doing this? It's because of his nature in you. Yeah? That has grown and is now dominating you. Hallelujah. Amen? I'm not just in right standing with God. I do righteousness. Because that is nature. It's in me. And as I spend time with him, his nature rubs up on me. Hallelujah. I cannot be anything else like the relationship I have with God. Hallelujah. As I deepen my relationship with God, I become more and more like him. I am not running away from God. I am running to him. He is my father. I am his child. His business is my business. And when I minister to his business, he ministers to my needs. Hallelujah. I was just busy minding his business. Then he showed me something that I was doing wrong in my life that was compromising my well-being. He said, is that the problem? He said, yes. I just changed it. It's fixed. That's how God works. I said, God doesn't love you any less than he loves any other person. I know people come to me and say, you know, but God loves me so much. I said, I know. He also loves the unbeliever. Because John 3:16 says, for God so